All right, welcome back. We are finally back, the Andrew Haynes Show. It's been over a year. And yes, I have gained some weight during that COVID time last year. But if you could see from that intro video, I could still do a backflip. Was a trampoline, but I could still do it. So now welcome back. This is going to be our 72nd regular episode. During COVID, we also had the Free Agent Fridays, and it's been great to follow those episodes and see a lot of those people back working in the sports world. So I'm excited to get the show back. And so I started looking at guests. I was like, who do I want to have on? What do we want to talk about? Well, I'm a huge football guy and love startup business, startup teams. And so I saw one of my friends that we've met over the years, talked over the years, was moving, getting involved in the XFL. So excited to have John Navarez Jr. with us. How's it going, John?
It's great. Andrew, it's great. Again, I appreciate you having me on. I'm excited.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, we have, you know, some similar paths. You know, we worked in, you know, arena football, indoor football for a while, and kind of give us a little bit of background, like where you got your start and kind of a little bit of your journey through the years.
Yeah, absolutely. So grew up in Dallas, Texas, Allen specifically, big powerhouse when it comes to high school football. And so at 5'7", you know, I didn't really last that long, as you can imagine. So, you know,
Were you there when that stadium was there? Because I'm sorry to cut you off, but the high school stadium there is like better than half the D1 stadiums, I think, out there.
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. But no, I missed it by 2 years. So, you know, I had the honor of watching my sisters graduate there. And, of course, Kyler Murray work his magic there. But my playing days didn't last that long, even in the old stadium. So I definitely missed out those days. But continued my career, ended up in Louisiana Tech, working for the athletic director there, just kind of working my way as a part-time job in the athletic department, you know, throwing the towels and drying the basketball floors, you know, during the game and that kind of stuff. So that kind of got my feet wet into the industry, and I decided that's something I wanted to take off with. So transferred back home, did a little internship with the arena football team out there, called the Texas Revolution with my buddy Tommy Benizio. And I went in there.
Tommy's amazing. He's probably the best salesperson I've ever met.
Yeah, he's awesome. He gets involved in everything he can. He does a great job. So, but he ended up giving me my first opportunity there in sports. And just like everybody else, I wanted my foot in the door. I wanted to be the next Bill Belichick. You know, I want to get real involved with being a coach and accomplishing those dreams. But found out very quickly that I had a niche not only for sales, but leading a team in general, and just really fell in love with it, fell in love with the process, the sales process, and really was able to learn, you know, how to keep a team running outside of just a successful, you know, field and product, or I'm sorry, product on the field. And so that was very enlightening. And from there, from not only the internship, but from my first promotion as the front office manager, which slowly ends up, you know, putting me in the general management position there, which it was like playing Madden in real life. You know, not only are we recruiting the players, but we're adjusting the prices, trying to get butts in seats. And again, I knew that's what my calling was for. So that kind of opened up some doors for me to not only, you know, get to run my own team in Omaha, one of the longest running teams up there. That was fun. It was very interesting to not only run a team that's been there before, but wanted a new image, wanted a new likeness across that. So we did a great job there year one, and that ended up bringing me to Florida for the first XFL stint for myself with the Tampa Bay Vipers of the XFL. Had a great time there, really strutting my stuff there, and had fun with the guys, created a lot of great relationships across the board, and that eventually brought me out here to the San Antonio market, which we're doing this again, and was able to get my family on board. But with this opportunity, it was just something that we couldn't pass up. Again, my family's from Texas, so that was a big selling point. There. The city of San Antonio is amazing. Great food, by the way. It's not as cold as Dallas, as you could say, but it's right down the street from my family. And just to be able to get in the startup mode again, not only with a football team, but with such a great backing for the people that are running the show this time around. It was just, like I said, an offer that we couldn't refuse. So my family moved from your neck of the woods over there near Tampa Bay, and which I fell in love with, thought I was never moving. But we're here. Yeah, no, I agree. You guys are still having fun every day on the boat, on the water. I loved it. So it was fun while we were there. But, again, sports came calling again, and we're here, and we're thriving.
Yeah, you got to chase that. And it's it's definitely nice in Tampa right now. I'm outside, sitting outside doing this. So I love that aspect of it. But what is it about that opportunity in San Antonio that was, you know, really got you fired up?
Well, I'll tell you right now, the cost of living is way different from Tampa Bay. That's for sure.
So I think just about everywhere is. This is crazy. Yeah,
so my house here is a little bit cheaper than my apartment in Tampa Bay. So that was a big difference for us. But outside the family situation, again, it was my opportunity to get back into sports and lead my sales team, which is really something that I've been looking forward to doing. I did that in arena football, and I got the most joy in my job when I got to see people on the team really thrive with the tools that you give them, with the help that you receive, and just basically seeing people grow throughout the process. And that's where I get the most joy in the job that I have. So when that opportunity came to not only be a part of something new, to be the new shiny car in town, which is great here in San Antonio, you know, we hopped on it, like I said. And then again, when we're talking about this market here in San Antonio, it is a new team. It is a new league in this market, but this market is so hungry for football. And it's been a very, very warm welcoming here. Even before I moved here, people were reaching out to me, getting ready to, you know, have some type of relationship with the team. So, like I said, just very, very warm welcome. And it's been great here. We're very excited.
Yeah, that's good. And I think when you were with the Vipers, I think the on-field product was really solid. And I think, you know, the fans were really buying into it. So, you know, I think if you guys can, you know, take that and keep building on that. But that market, I haven't been to yet, but I've heard a lot of great things about it. I was actually looking to take a little trip there. So maybe I'll try to get down there during the season. But what would you say is your leadership style?
Yeah, really, my leadership style is just basically caring about the guys. You know, there's a really title on it. It's just really diving deep and seeing what makes people run. You know, if that's, their ambitions inside their career, or is that to provide for their family at home? Is that to overcome trials and tribulations that they have? Or is that just to become, obtain their dream job in sports or even outside of sports? So it's just really seeing what motivates these people and diving deep into not only, your family needs you to make a whole lot of money so they can survive, but also what do we got to do today to make sure that you're not only making that money that you need, but you're happy, you're enjoying life. And just selfishly from, our leadership standpoint, when I know my counterparts are not only happy at home, but happy in the office and just running this great culture environment here, I know the numbers will produce there. So it's giving these guys opportunities to put their hands on their ideas, to be able to throw up ideas on the wall and giving the opportunity to run with it, see what turns successful and what doesn't. And just giving that opportunity to put their own self on a pedestal and say, hey, this is my talents. This is what I'm doing. And that's a true belief of mine. You know, I've received this job basically based off my success rate of people that I've put in a better place, or literally assisted them get to the better place. Because again, it's all on them and their hard work. But just being able to kind of guide them through their steps and tell them, because a lot of people, including myself, didn't know how to become successful in sports. You know, I didn't know how important relationships were. I didn't know those things. So to be able to guide these people and given the insight of just what I've learned based off experience, is a true blessing. Very lucky to do that.
And I think that's, one of the most rewarding aspects of what we do. In my opinion, like I get the most reward out of seeing people working with you succeed. And a lot of times that means, you know, it's you're a little sad or like you're disappointed. You don't want them to leave. But at the same time, it's like, hey, they're getting a great opportunity. And that's what it's all about, especially when, you know, we worked at the minor league level. And, you know, a lot of times that's the goal is to continue to move up, and we're limited in staff. So it's inevitable that they have to leave to get advancement at some point. So I always enjoy that. I always look back and I look at all these different teams that, you know, I've had, like, you know, people start as interns and then, you know, come in the staff and just you see them grow. And it's really cool to see. So
yeah, absolutely. And since we're on the subject, you know, huge shout out to Zenobia Winbush, is per your what you just said there. She started in the Texas Revolution as an intern, barely knew how to turn on a computer, and said, hey, I want to be a graphic designer for the Cowboys one day, with zero experience. And then now she's actually there. She gave me field passes.
Is that how you get on the field?
That was sweet. That was sweet. And that's what I live for, man, to be able to have that experience with them, to stay, you know, have that relationship throughout their career and just watch them shine. And, you know, she told me one day, you know, when, I don't know if you remember when the Condos fell in Miami.
Yeah.
That's that story. She was actually in Miami. And she told me, she's like, John, I just got that job. I was celebrating Miami. And I'll tell you right now, I was thinking, if I were to die today in this hotel, I would die happy because of where I am today. I mean, I just broke down in tears. You know, I just broke down in tears.
Nice.
You know, just being that person to assist them, you know, a little bit of assistance, and they were able to take it, you know, upon themselves and really create, you know, what they did today. Yeah. So it's awesome.
And now you see a lot of people not having that drive. And so when you see those people that do have that drive, and you know, you're always rooting for them, and that's cool. So what's your makeup now with your team? So you're over ticketing, or is it partnerships, or both?
Yeah, it'll be ticketing. I'll be looking over the ticketing efforts here with the Brahmas.
And then what kind of, like, you know, for a team like that, what kind of size staff do you have in the ticketing department?
So right now, specifically what we have is we have myself there directing the efforts. We're looking for a senior role here to kind of be the right-hand man or woman there in the office to kind of lead the sales floor in my absence, or to create projects and whatnot. And then we have five of our account reps that are just smiling and dialing and hitting up all those warm leads that we have coming in right now. And then, of course, we all report to the league level, and they'll be managing our efforts from there.
So how is it coming into a new team? I mean, obviously, I think, you know, the structure of what the XFL is doing is similar to kind of what I'm involved with on the indoor soccer side, where, you know, we have one ownership now for all our teams. So there's a lot of shared services. There's a lot of shared information and cross helping of teams. What was it like, though, for you coming in? Did you have to kind of create your business plan there, or did the XFL kind of have a business plan and say, hey, this is how we're going to launch our ticketing in San Antonio?
Well, a little bit of both. And that's actually, you know, was really attractive to me in this specific opportunity, because, of course, we got an all-star team in that corporate office that are leading the charge here, which we're really excited about. Big names, big experience. I think there's over 200 years of selling just in the sales department alone, worth of experience there. So to be able to soak all that up and really learn from the best was something that was very important to me. But then understanding that they're kind of giving the reins to do what we like to do. They're hiring us for a reason. Right. And so all the directors I know are, like I said, just all stars leading the nation there with our ticket sales. And so it's a little bit of both. And that's what really stuck out to me, because, again, we're here in this position for a reason. Right. We've done things that have worked in the past. And of course, we like to implement it. But, you know, to both you and I's experience in indoor football and in minor league sports, not everything that we've done in arena football we can do at this level. Right. So there's a lot of ideas that are getting thrown back and forth, not only from my sales staff, but from myself as well to the corporate. And again, they're being very, very willing to at least go down each idea to see what works out best. And again, that was one very important factor that I looked into before even taking this role.
Well, and I think that's a big part of great leadership too, right? I mean, are you just going to be a dictator and dictate everything that has to be done? Or are you going to utilize the assets that you have in your staff to maybe take your initial idea and enhance it? And I know that I do it a lot of times. I think I got the best idea in the world, and then, you know, we get together with the staff and they come up with something even better.
Yeah.
And, or enhance that. So we're constantly looking to be the best that we can. And that's probably the one thing that I've done over the years, is I've put that trust in other people a little bit more than I did early in my career. Early on, it was like micromanage and my way. And I think as I grew, it's more important to utilize the assets that you have and keep an open mind. And so definitely can relate to that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, in your realm of things, when you're running your own team, and that's your baby, right? That's your baby. Everything that goes out needs to be perfect. And so I totally understand, you know, trying to that micromanaging level. It's hard not to. And again, it's not bad. But, you know, there is some parts and times where, you know, us as leaders got to, you know, kick back a little bit, let them do what they got to do. Because we, like I said earlier, we hired them for a reason. So, yeah, absolutely.
When's your season kickoff there in San Antonio?
So we'll be starting right after the Super Bowl. Weekend right after the Super Bowl is when we begin. We are expecting our official schedule to come out here very shortly. So we're all excited for that so we can get that the ball rolling on those. But, yeah, weekend after the Super Bowl, perfectly timing right when there's no football going around. So,
how many game season?
So it's going to be 10 games and I believe three rounds of playoffs there. So we'll be hosting five at home at the Alamo Dome in San Antonio and, of course, five on the road.
I'll tell you, I saw some of your videos on social. I mean, that place looks great. I mean, what's that seat? I mean, it doesn't look like it's you know, like 100,000 seats. But it looks like a perfect size venue for this.
Yeah, absolutely. With the third row, I think it's around 65,000 to 67,000, yeah, okay. You know, full house. It's what it looked like against this last game in the Alamo Bowl, Texas against Washington. I mean, the place is extremely loud. You know, I'm used to, you know, going to Tampa, the Raymond James, I was able to bring my baby with no headset, you know, because it's open. Again, great atmosphere, but it's open. But in that arena, that thing just rocks different. It is super loud. And when those fans are in there going nuts, I mean, it's a show to see. It's very fun.
Well, I love enclosed stadiums.
Because oh, yeah.
I don't like the rain and cold weather or right. anything that can go wrong outside. So I love the indoor sports. So that's kind of cool. Is football like your passion? Is that kind of why you spent most of your career in, you know, the football business? Or did it just so happen you wanted to just be in sports and it happened to be football?
Yeah, so growing up, I played, you know, just about every sport that I could. But by far, I just have a love for the sport of football. You know, the game of inches, every aspect of it, the drama that's included not only throughout the season but during just a single game. That's by far my number one sport. I, you know, technically, I'd probably work for any sports team. Again, I love the industry, but it's just the easy sell. You know, again, when it comes back to sales. You know, it's all about being confident of what you push there. And I'm very confident about the product that we're pushing on the floor. And it's just easy for me to have those football conversations. So just naturally just fits there. But then again, my number one sport growing up was soccer. So I wouldn't have an issue getting out there. But yeah, just naturally, it's just been football so far.
I remember back, you know, I was in indoor football too. And you know, when you're the owner, you can kind of do whatever you want, right? So I would suit up every now and then for practice. And it was like a double-edged sword for the players because it's like, if you truck me, it's not good. But if you just make it easy on me, it's not good. So it was a no-win right. for the players, but they would get a kick out of it. And there was always a few that really wanted to kind of try to set the tone with you. And I love it. I would love that. Now I'm 44. I don't think I can do that anymore.
Oh man, I love to see it, Andrew. Don't cut yourself short now.
I know. I did. We used to do it with indoor soccer too. We'd get out there, but I gotta drop some weight, man. I got fat and happy this last year. So
yeah, I believe it. Right there with you,
man. It's too easy. So who are your sports teams? Are you all Dallas fan or?
Kind of, sort of. So growing up, you know, it's hard not to root for the Cowboys when my whole family wears blue every single Sunday. So I would support the Cowboys as my number two team. But to me, you know, honestly, it's the same thing every year. Doing great, it's not our year. Doing great, it's not our year. So, but to be completely honest, ever since I was a kid and since I knew, I kind of fell in love with the sport of football. The Bengals, hands down, had the best uniforms back in the day. So that kind of stuck with me as I was a little 8-year-old in elementary school. And ever since then, I've been a fan. So like I tell everybody else, just let me enjoy my time right now. It's been a rough, you know, rough upcoming. So, you know, the Bengals are by far my number one team there. But if I had to go with the baseball team, again, it was just I had so much fun out there in Tampa, and it's hard to not enjoy that time at the Trop there. So supporting the race is cool. So I definitely appreciated my time out there.
What do you think about the stadium there? A lot of people don't like it. I actually like it.
The way I describe it to people is it's like you walk into the 90s. The second you go in there, it's like walking to the 90s. So it takes me back to the childhood days. It looks exactly how it's supposed to look when it opened up. I love the stadium. And, again, it's enclosed, so it's loud. It's fun. It's a good time.
It's air-conditioned. And rains every day here in the summer. So, I always hear a lot of backlash about it. I live in St. Pete, so it's not far from, you know, it's not far from my place. But I don't know. I really enjoy it. So, but I guess, you know, when people are here and that's what they're used to, and, you know, you always want something new and shiny. And, you know, when everybody's getting brand new stadiums, I mean, eventually, you know, they're going to get a new stadium, whether it's in St. Pete or Tampa or wherever, but.
Right. And you do got to cross that bridge to get over there. So I'm sure that has a huge impact of trying to bring it out to Ybor City. Cause that would be incredible. I love St. Pete. I love that area. I love spending time out there, but I think if they were to somehow make that magic happen, I think that would be insanely awesome. That'd be crazy.
Well, downtown Tampa, I mean, is very central though. I mean, cause you can still get, you know, Pinellas County, all of that St. Pete, Clearwater area. You know, you got all of Tampa, then you got the eastern part, you know, Lakeland,
right.
And then, so, you know, coming from Lakeland or even, you know, I used to live in Celebration, which is by Orlando and by Disney. And I would come to some Rays games every now and then. That would be like a 2-hour trip sometimes.
Right.
So definitely could see that. So any other, you have like an MLS team or team overseas that you follow for soccer?
Yeah, so I'll keep it home, FC Dallas. I've actually haven't been to a lot of MLS games outside of FC Dallas. I've been to Kansas City. That environment was actually very, very great when they played LAFC this last season. That was incredible. You know, I did meet a couple people with Inter Miami. That was great. But I've never been to any other games outside of home games at at FC Dallas Stadium more than there. So if I had to choose MLS, it'd definitely be them. But I kind of more follow the players more in MLS. So I love the U.S. Nationals, the Mexican Nationals. But if we were following one, it's only because my wife loves them. But our number one player right now is Carlos Vela. Love to watch him and everywhere he goes. So that's our guy. That's her guy. Our guy.
Yeah. Hers. Okay. Whatever it takes to get her into it, right?
Exactly.
When you go out to these sporting events, I mean, I know when I go out, I look at everything so differently, you know, than when prior to getting in the sports business. I'm always looking at the revenue and, you know, the hospitality and, you know, looking at the numbers. Are you still able to go out and enjoy, you know, sports like, you know, a regular fan?
It's hard. It's very, very hard to your point because, like I said, I'm watching how game operation is run. I'm seeing how many groups are on the screen, where the sponsors are on the board. And don't, you know, if I'm at a local game, I might be taking notes, you know, just seeing who's where. But yeah, to your point, it definitely makes it hard to kind of sit back, relax. I can't tell you the last time I, you know, was able to sit back and maybe have an alcoholic beverage, you know, at a game, just because I've been so locked in and seeing what's going on and trying to learn from everybody at that level. So, you know, to your point, it's been a while since I've been able to sit back and relax. But the last time I did that was at a Bengals game in Tampa Bay. So that was with my family.
This season? Were you at the
Two seasons ago in a preseason game. So that's the only time that I get to relax there with the family.
Well, you would have liked the one this year.
I know I would have. I missed that one. I got tickets to it, but I didn't know I was moving to San Antonio. So
I think that was the one Tampa was up, right, and then blew it.
Yep.
Yeah, that was dirty.
Missed out on that one because I didn't know I was going to be here, but that's okay. We'll talk about that a later day.
Hey, so what are some of your most memorable moments, you know, in sports from like working in sports?
Well, I could go on for days about horrific stories, right? But we'll try to keep it positive on here, you know, which I'm sure you could attest to in minor league sports. We've seen a lot of crazy things. But, I mean, hands down, winning a championship and seeing, you know, a sellout, those two things are – uncomparable, really. I mean, when I was working through the, you know, to the football program more on the football operations side, you know, I would literally sit on the treadmill and just visualize holding that trophy up. And we just got smacked in the mouth 3 years in a row, but we were able to host that trophy in the fourth season. And it meant the world to us. And I never got to see a technical sellout until my Omaha days. And that was even far-fetched. It was very, very hard. We worked our butts off to make that happen. But when you're able to walk in and see all those butts and seats and really know that you had a good grasp on that effort there to make that happen, really makes you feel great. But with that being said, you know, to me, what really gets me the goosebumps is hearing the stories of not only dreams from the players that are being accomplished, but even the fans, the impacts that we have on the fans and their personal lives. You know, in minor league, I was able to you know, give somebody a suite. They just lost their daughter due to some tragic event, right? And I was able to give them a suite. They were a season ticket holder. We had one extra. Why not, right? I put them in there with their family. And what I didn't know is this was a fresh loss, like literally 2 weeks before the game. And when I walked in, it was almost as if, you know, I was a celebrity. People started crying. They were like, thank you. We haven't had an opportunity to spend time as a family together after this event with this on our minds. You've given us a place to kind of relax and de-stress and really enjoy time rather than going over what just happened there. And, you know, right now I'm getting goosebumps for how much that affect me and just stuff like that we're able to do, you know, which is easy for us. It's easy for us to do. And that just makes such a huge impact for people on their personal lives. It's incredible. But another story I have is one of my best memories there in Texas. We had a kid who was leaning over the wall in arena football. And you know how dangerous that could get because you're literally touching players, right? So this kid is leaning over the wall. We have a player that goes over the wall and smashes his head with his the player's face mask, right? So totally bruised him up. Wasn't a good situation. You know, we're in the corporate office the next day, like, okay, are we getting sued? What's going on? You know, this lady's going to be so upset at us because we, you know, hurt his kid, so on and so forth. The mom and the kid actually came in the office that afternoon and was just jacked up, so excited that that just happened. He was the coolest kid at school because he had this black eye because a player went over the wall and hit him in the face, right? So you just never know. I mean, we just impact lives every day with what we do here in sports. So it's great.
Yeah, I think that is one of it's another rewarding aspect of the business. Like for me, it's always that opening night when, you know, I always like to get to the arena like before everybody else or stadium and just like it's calm, it's quiet. Mm-hmm. And then later that day or night, you know, just walking around, seeing all the people that are happy and just having a great time and, you know, creating great memories for them that are going to last, you know, a long time. And, you know, I think we have a unique opportunity in this business to, you know, have a positive impact on a lot of people in a lot of different ways. And, you know, I've had some years where I've made a lot of money and I've had some years where I've lost a lot. But you always have those things. And that's what keeps me, you know, wanting to do what I do is being able to have that positive impact and just create those memories. Some of my best memories as a kid are going to sporting events with my grandparents or my dad or my mom or, you know, friends. And so I really try to think about that. And I like our staffs to think about that when we're doing our game day and doing anything we can in the community is just think about that. Like the players, like somebody wants your autograph, might not mean anything to you. You might be busy, you might this or that, but to that person, it could mean the world. Yeah, and absolutely. So just approach it that way and have fun, you know, love what you do. Like, you know, I just don't feel like I've like had a job. Like, you know, I love what I do every morning. I get up, I'm excited. Some days it's challenging and frustrating, but I wouldn't want to have what I call a real job.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, you know, our friend Tommy used to tell us all the time, and I'm sure it's true, you know, everywhere, basically here in sports, we could all leave sports and go make plenty of money elsewhere, right? If we put the same work ethic to a different industry or a different job anywhere, we could all go make a whole bunch of money elsewhere right now, today, if we decided to. But there's, you know, there's something there that's holding us back, you know, with the love of sports and just the love of being able to give back to those fans and watching these players accomplish their dreams. And not only the players, but even the staff too, because again, we're here trying to accomplish our dreams as well. So yeah, to your point, it's very enjoyable and we'll, you know, we'll be here for a long time.
All right. So you're a little over a month away. You still have some spots you're trying to fill, right, on your staff. What are you looking for? Like what positions are you going to be looking to hire and what type of people are you looking for in those spots?
Yeah, specifically here, you know, if I can speak selfishly, you know, we really look for candidates that, you know, not only have some sales experience, but we're not afraid to hire anybody outside of sales too that really show that effort, you know, when it comes down to sales. And again, you know, I kind of carry myself on the basis of it's not what about what I know. It's not about who I know. It's about who knows me and my work ethic. And if I could, you know, have conversations and engage people that can vouch. And that number one reason why I want to hire them is because of their work ethic. That's something that's very attractive to me, because not only can people, you know, we can learn a little bit, right? It doesn't mean, you know, if they weren't the number one sales representative in their team, that doesn't mean we can't tweak something and make them the number one here. It's really, again, just looking for those people that are willing to do whatever it takes to complete the job. If that's self-education, if that's working overtime, if that's communicating and talking to other people to try to get their experience to accomplish your job and your dreams, I'm all about it. So that's what we're looking for.
Well, I think too, like sometimes people don't excel due to, you know, multiple factors, leadership, structure, things like that, support, training. So, I mean, I think, you know, anytime I'm looking at somebody underperforming, I mean, that's the first thing I do. Are we providing all the assets we have to make them successful? And we really make sure that we go out of our way to properly train them, be there for support. Make sure they have the tools, and then you can evaluate someone. But if you just can't, I just don't think you can evaluate somebody if you don't give them the proper tools to be successful. So,
absolutely agreed.
So I'm excited for this upcoming season. I'm going to try to come out and check out a game, but keep in touch and want to hear more about the upcoming season. I'm a startup freak. I love it. I love the rush of taking an idea and creating, you know, something that is real. And that's what you're part of there. And it's special.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I appreciate the time even coming on. I'm a huge, huge fan of the show. So I'm glad I got my time on here. And again, Andrew, yourself, it's always a pleasure watching you and all the endeavors you got going on too. So I'd love to have you out here. You know a guy here in the San Antonio market now. So if you ever need,
I want those field passes like you got in Dallas.
Hey, I might have a couple in my back stash here. You never know.
Can I suit up for practice?
That's a harder question. We'll figure that out when you get down here.
All right, man. Have a good one. Keep in touch.
You're awesome, Andrew. Thank you.